I love songs like that. In your mind, you can imagine certain things going on. Amen. And you could understand those words. Amen. Appreciate that. Take your Bible this morning, please. I'm glad you're here today. I hope I will not bore you. I hope I'll keep you awake. If you're tired, go ahead, lay down, go to sleep. But anyway, I'll try my hardest so you can hear me and understand the Word of God this morning. I want to talk to you today on the subject of universal salvation for all. That sounds like a good Christmas. He came for all, amen. The Bible said here that there was joy to all people, and that's, I guess I'm one of them. I'm an all people, amen, and so are you. When you take the book, let's just give you a little background here. When you take the book of Luke, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We have the four Gospels, and written by these men of God that loved the Lord God. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. The Word, the Bible said that God breathed the Word of God upon them. The Holy Spirit did. Literally, the idea of breathing is like a boat was sitting out in the water, and the breath or the wind would move that ship. And the sail would catch it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit moved these men to write the Word of God. And we're thankful that we have God's Word in our hands today. Now, when you take the book of Luke, Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. He wrote primarily to the Greek people, the people that were Greeks. And so that they would understand the Word of God. And he presented them that Jesus Christ was the compassionate Son of Man, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What is it? Lost. Lost. We have no hope. We have no hope for the future. We have no hope for tomorrow. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Yes, you are going to die. I don't care who you are. I don't care how you are born, you're going to die. Some die young, some die old, some die in the middle of life, some die in the beginning of life, some die in the last of years, but still you're going to die. And in the Bible says it's appointed on a man once to die, but then it also says what? Once to die and then the judgment. Each one of us are going to be judged. We're going to be judged what we've done with this Jesus Christ, this Christ who was born in Bethlehem, Sobo. We'll be judged. What are you going to do about it? Today, I'm going to encourage you to do the right thing. I'm going to encourage you to give up and give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to encourage you to say, I cannot do anything for myself on this salvation deal. I can't get out of this world alive, so therefore I need some help. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible said the works of a man is like filthy rags. But Jesus Christ said, I will forgive your sins and I will come in and save you. And that's why he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that one was lost. I was reading an article in the paper the other day about that family that lost in that, they were flying and they crashed and they couldn't find them. And they've been searching for him and they called off the search. They're lost. They're lost. No hope. And you know what? That's the world. That's the way Satan tries to tell you. You're lost. There's no hope. There's no way out of here. Yes, there is. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's what Christmas is all about, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever what, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Very simple. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple as that. Satan and religiosity tried to tell you that there's so many things you got to do and so many things you can't do. And God says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Nothing to it. Simple as that. And therefore, you are no longer lost, but you're found, you're saved. It's a wonderful thing to be found. Years ago, my friend took me hunting. And he said, you go this way, I'll go this way. I'd never been there before. I didn't have a compass with me. And guess what I got? Thank you, Roy Rawls. I got lost. He said, I'll meet you back here at noon. I said, good. I was lost. And I just kept going around in circles. That's what most people do, you know. And finally, I cut a road, and boy, I wonder what. And I looked up, here's Roy. I never did tell him I was lost. I scared the bejeebers out of me. I'm telling you, I don't like to be lost. Bless God, hallelujah, pass the biscuits and gravy. I was found, amen. I'm happy. And there's just something about being found. There's just something about not being lost. The security that we have when we know where we're headed. You know, there's a lot of people in this world, they're going so fast, they're lost, they have no idea where they're going, but they sure are making good headway, amen? Sure making good time, but they're lost. And the simplicity of salvation is, call upon me. Simplicity of salvation is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're in the water, you're drowning, you call out, help, save me! And somebody puts their arm down, somebody throws a buoy to you, and you grab it. Well, I'll tell you what, you grab a hold of that thing as quick as you can. Amen. What? You don't want to die. You know what's worse than dying? Dying for eternity. Dying in hell where the punishment is great. And it'll never stop for all eternity. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for the Christ birth. Amen. Well, Luke wrote Luke on the idea that to the Greek, wanting to know that Jesus Christ was a compassionate Son of Man. And Luke's gospel was a universal outlook. He gave the Lord's genealogy all the way back to Adam. And all of us come from him. No, you didn't come from amoeba or a crocodile or a monkey. Some of you look like that, but you didn't come from that. You came from Adam. Adam and Eve. When she conceived, she gave birth, Cain, and Abel, and then Seth. And we are from them all the way up. Guess what? You're my brother from another mother, amen. But you're my brother or sister, amen. And some way down the line, we can DNA us all the way back to Adam. Now we're all humans. And Luke wrote this, and I want you to know it's not just the Jews, it's everybody that I'm writing to. And Luke writes, and you feel it, and you see it, as you read the word, you read Luke, the whole world is in the sphere of God's redemption. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I'm glad about that. I'm glad I'm not left out. I'm glad I can have a home in heaven. I'm glad when the dark shadows of death come upon me, and when the dark, cold death brow upon my head cools me down and I die, I'm absent from this body and I'm present with the Lord. Amen. Look at what he said. Simeon said there in chapter 2 of verse 34 of Luke. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child, talking about Jesus, is set for the fall and the raising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. At the death of Jesus Christ, their thoughts are going to be revealed. What are you going to do with Jesus? Of course, when you read this, you'll find that it was the Jews or a Gentile who was concerned about the sinner. And he used the word sinner 16 times in the gospel. I have a friend of mine that when I meet him, I said, hey, sinner! And I harass him terribly about that. And he really is one. But anyway. And of course, we would expect a physician, Dr. Luke, to have concern about the individuals. And Luke's gospel certainly reflects that. You can see this individuality, this I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for you. It's not the crowds. I am concerned for particular people in that crowd. We have a crowd this morning, and each one of you are very special to the Almighty God. He created you. He created you in the fact that there's nobody in this room the same. Aren't we glad? All of our fingerprints are different. Our DNA has some things about it, but we still have our own DNA. We have these new things now with computers. You look into it, and they take a picture of your eye, and they said, hey, that's the only person like that in the world. Certain people have certain smell to them. Some people don't. But anyway, we'll go on from there. But anyway, we're all different. And each one of us have a different style and a different way about us and our bringing up and our families and our circumstance in life have made us who we are. And we're all different. And aren't we glad? Many times people say, how you doing? Hey! I'm shaking the hand of chicken the worldly man. Man, I'll tell you, life is good, you know. I'm doing better than I expect. Or better than I should. All of us have different attitudes and different attitudes of life. God made us all different. But a doctor, they can really see our difference, can't they? They're looking for certain things in our life, in our habits, in our way that we go about things, in our anatomy, and they know a lot of different things. And here, old Luke, he is given the opportunity to give us the book of Luke. Very interesting book. More than any other gospel writer, Luke mentions children and women. In the gospel, you will be amazed how he gives specific emphasis on prayer and singing and rejoicing. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he said he was sick and not feeling well. I said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And he said to me, hey, I heard if you have a good old belly laugh, it's like running 1 mile. I said, man, I've been trying that. It don't work. Amen. Alan Funnell, the old candid camera, when he was sick and they found out he had cancer. He was a Jewish man. He had cancer. And he knew the scriptures in Proverbs where it said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and so he told his staff, he said, I want you to get the funniest videos that we have. The funniest candid cameras, films that you have. And he said, I want you to put them on, and I want them in my room at the hospital, and I want them constantly playing. They say he lived 10 years longer than he should have. A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. So Dr. Luke was on something here when he said singing and rejoicing and prayer. As you read the inspired Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, you will also experience this acknowledgement of poverty and of wealth. Dr. Luke Scott was also famous for giving 6 of our Lord's miracles and 19 parables that are not mentioned in the other 3 Gospels. So he gives us something more. Dr. Luke takes us to the Lord's birth at Bethlehem. Don't you think he'd be interested in a birth if he's a doctor? Thank God for doctors, amen. And he also takes us to the crucifixion. And Luke gives us probably the most detailed account of that, of all the other 3. And he gives the most detailed account of the Lord's birth. That shouldn't surprise us, being a physician. Luke's gospel takes us to the Lord's birth, the death of Jerusalem. Outside the city of Jerusalem, Luke carefully describes Christ's ministry in Galilee, Judea, Perea, and finally Jerusalem. Now, I want to give you Luke's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus' mother, Mary, Virgin Mary, was visited by the angel of God, Gabriel, or Gabor, who is called the principal angel by many biblical scholars. And the same angel was sent by God to Daniel. Remember, Daniel couldn't understand the visions and the things over there in Daniel chapter 8. And Gabriel came to him and explained it to him from God. And the angel Gabriel also was sent by God to Zechariah. Zechariah was that priest. He was Elizabeth's husband, and they're old and could not have children. And Elizabeth was barren, and they were holy people and lived for God. And God came while Zechariah was offering incense in the temple and spoke to him and said, "You're going to have a son." And the answer to that was, "Yeah, right. I'm an old man. How could I have a son?" And Gabriel says, "Okay for you. You don't believe me, you're not going to talk." And you remember the scripture, how it said, you can't brag about it now, pal. Amen. And he said he was going to have a son and call him John. And that son was going to be the forerunner, as illustrated, prophesied in Isaiah, of the Messiah. And the same angel then was sent 6 months later to a young lady named Mary, a virgin of Nazareth, and told her, "You're going to bear the Emmanuel, the Christ child." I love the account of Christ's birth because there's no big players in it. Just a simple, lowly carpenter and a virgin young lady, and a shepherd's and lonely stable and inns and the little city of Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible said, "And suddenly," you see it there? "And suddenly," without question, without wonder, whoop, there it is, amen. The Bible said, the light turned on. I admire the shepherds. Of all the accounts of the scriptures, I admire the shepherds. Here they are out there minding their own business. They're taking care of the work. If you were a Jew at that time, you'd realize that they were the unclean people. The Jewish people did not like them. The priests did not like them too well because they were always handling the lambs that were dead. You know, that was their job. Though the Jews needed them very much because they were always the one that was selling. Many people believe that these shepherds were the temple shepherds. These are the men who were taking care of the sheep that would bring them so that they could sacrifice them. How fitting that the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, would be sought out by these shepherds. It's a cold, dark night, we assume. Light is gone. It's a quiet night. The bleating of the sheep, the quietness, the caretaking shepherds sitting around, probably a fire. Now, of course, this is all supposition. We're not sure. It doesn't say that in the book, the Bible, but it sure is fun to think about it. Amen. I've never been around a bunch of guys who were sitting outside in the dark, didn't build the fire. Amen. And I'm sure they're telling stories of old. I've never been around a campfire without guys telling stories. Some really embellish their stories, but you know, kind of like a football player. After a couple of years, he becomes the star. Older he gets, the better he got. Who can challenge his word? There's no tapes or anything left of him, so they tell how great a player he was. Amen. But out there on that hills of Judea, and my wife and I back in 95 were able to go to Bethlehem. And in your mind, you can imagine these rolling, beautiful green hills where shepherds still take care of their sheep and they still grow wheat there. There they were one night. And suddenly, in the darkness of night, the darkness is immediately gone, and an unbelievable glow. Some Bible scholars believe that this great light was also seen by the wise men who were coming from Babylon to see that these wise men had triggered their desire to come and see the new king, the Christ who had been promised. The illumination, they call it the Shekinah glory, his star. If you would study this in depth, you will find some interesting statements such as found in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 16. And again, when he bringeth in his first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. That's Hebrews 1:6. We also see the scripture in Revelation chapter 5 verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. They say that these are all the angels of heaven. Think of God's blessed Son becoming man for our redemption. Born in a stable, born so low, cradled in a manger. Listen, all heaven was stirred at the fact that Jesus Christ was born in a lowly mansion, manger. In early chapter of Luke, we get one song after another. We hear the song of Elizabeth when she comes in contact with Mary. And we hear Zechariah's song. And then you hear Mary's song. And then we get this ultimate song of the angels, of the tens of millions and thousands of angels. All heaven was moved. Isn't it amazing? Nobody else is moved. Just a few shepherds. Just a few wise men. How low is that? Do you know there's nobody ever born as low as Jesus Christ was? And he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They filled the skies with praise when Christ was born, and when the... What a magnanimous sight it must have been for the shepherds to witness. And what the Bible says, and they were sore afraid. Scared to death. Have you ever been so scared to death you couldn't spit? Have you ever been so afraid that you just didn't, all reason is gone from you and you didn't even know what to think? Can you imagine these men out there, as I said before, probably sitting around a fire, probably talking, all of a sudden, this great light shines, and these angels, and this angel speaks to them, and all of a sudden the heavenly host faints. Wow, I don't know about you, but I'd sure like to be a shepherd. I wish I could have been there that day. By the way, you can be there today. The Bible says when one sinner confesses his sin, all heaven rejoices. And say, well, boy, I wish I could. You can be there if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have no hope of heaven. You have no hope of the future. All you think is you're like a dog. You just die and that's it. And they just cover you up in a hole. No, there's more to it. Jesus said when one sinner comes to Christ, when one sinner asks Him, all heaven rejoices. Boy, we could have Christmas Day again. Amen. I remember when I was 14 years old, I was at Eastside Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan. Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan. And 14-year-olds were sitting way in the back. Crowd of over 2,000 teenagers there. And that preacher was preaching. And that day I realized I needed Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. I stepped out of that seat, walked out. I believed with all my heart. The whole angels of heaven were rejoicing. Even the Lord said, are you sure? That was supposed to be funny. There was an angel a multitude, a heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Why? Hey! This was not a dirge. This was a celebration. This was a royal announcement. This was a glorious anthem. Not only was it to the shepherds, but it went towards and upward to the throne of God. And the Messiah was a mission of peace, of infinite holiness. Here he would take away depravity. How could they ever come together? I'll tell you how. The gospel purges all difference. Mankind looks and says, good night, how has this ever happened? Well, it's a miracle. Angels from the realm of glory wing your downward flight to earth. Ye who sing creation's story now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. When these angels sung this song, they sang what they had never sang before. Glory to God in the highest was an old, old song. They had sung it before the foundation of the world. But now they sang as a new song before the throne of God. And they added this stanza, on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. They did not sing that in the Garden of Eden. There was peace there. But it seemed a thing, of course, is scarce worth singing of. There was more than peace there for the glory of God there. But now man had fallen. And since that creation day when the cherubims and the fiery sword drove out man from that place and there was no peace on earth left to mankind, save in the breath of some believers who obtained peace, a living fountain, and incarnated Christ. War had raged at the end of the world. Man had slaughtered one another, heaped upon heap. There had been wars within as well as wars without. Conscience had fought with man. Satan had tormented man with thoughts of sin. There had been no peace on earth since Adam fell. But now, when the newborn King had appeared in the swaddling bands which seemed to wrap in a white flag of peace, that manger was a place where the treaty was signed, whereby warfare should be stopped between man's conscience and himself and man's conscience and his God. Man can know peace. Man can accept this Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It was then, the day the trumpet blew, that signaled to seize the sword. O man, seize the sword, O conscience for God, is now at peace with man, and man peace with God. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for the born Christ child. Thank God that he said, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll give you peace that passes all understanding. If you just step up to the plate and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, forgive my sins that come into my heart and save me, I'll save you right now. Now let me tell you something. You can go on this world. God gave you a free will. You can go and live the way you want to do, and you can go about your business and think everything is okay, and you can live your life and make your money and drink your swill and smoke your dope, and you can do everything you want to do, and God will let you do it. He'll let you do it. God believes in a free will. God tells us about a free will. You have a choice. Adam and Eve have a choice. God didn't stand over them with a great big old billy club, and every time Adam did something, he whacked them inside the head. He didn't tie a rope around Eve's neck, and every time she was about to do something, he yanked it. And God said, go right ahead. He said, I'm telling you, You eat of the tree of knowledge of evil, you will surely die. You listen to me now. If you're here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you'll surely die and burn in hell forever. He said, I can't believe a God of love. Hey, stupid. God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. God Almighty came down from this earth, came to this earth, and lived in this old blood, sweat, tear, just to save your stinking soul. To give you heaven forever. And you laugh at it, and you poke fun at it, and you say, I don't believe that junk. You will. Because my Bible says, and God said, for every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that I am God. Your blasphemy thoughts, and you're thinking that you don't need this, I'll tell you one thing, you need it. I heard of a man that was in trouble. He didn't realize he was in trouble, but he's in trouble. He didn't think he needed to be saved, but he needed to be saved. He went his merry little way down the river, heading to a great waterfalls. People cried out to him and said, hey, buddy, you better look out. About a mile down there, there's a raging, thunderous waterfall. He said, hey, don't bother me. I'm enjoying myself. He didn't realize he was in trouble. That's the way a lot of people are today. You're just floating down. Think you're going to make it. Until, all of a sudden, 100 yards from the breaking waterfall of 100 feet, this man realized he was in trouble. He cried out and said, help, save me! And this is what the answer was. We can't get to you. You're too far out. And when you're taking that last breath, or maybe you're in a car accident and you're about to die, you're going to cry out. That's some good news for you. Remember Jesus hanging on the cross and the thief next to him? And just before he died, he said, remember me. And Jesus said, today, thou'll be with me in paradise. Man, I'm glad about that. Simple, simple, simple. Why live your life for Satan? Why live your life? Why bet? It's like a game to some people. Say, well, when I get old enough, when I get a little older, and after I've sowed all my wild oats, after I've used up my body in sin, and then I will. It's over. Absent of the body, you have two places. You either go to heaven, or you go to hell. That's your choice. It's not my choice. It's your choice. You have a choice to make. Don't be a fool. Make the correct choice. Make the right choice. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, you know what's going to happen. And you've given us the Word of God that we know what's going to happen. But Lord God, we have no hope for tomorrow. We don't even have a hope for the next second. Here we are living on your earth. Your planet, you created this magnificent universe. You have allowed us to come alive. You made us in the first place. You said that we are made in your image and in your likeness. It is incredible to think that people would just throw it away. Just, I don't need that. And all you did for them. Lord, help us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for coming to this old world. But most of all, thank you for raising again the promise of life everlasting. Speak to our hearts today. Thank you for today. Thank you for Christmas season. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing here today. You're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. I want to make one statement to you. day that you die, you will remember on the 22nd of December 2013, there was a preacher that was crying out to your heart and trying to get you to listen. God will ask you, why did not you respond? I gave you every chance, every opportunity, and you passed it by. Then he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you, into the lake of fire which burneth forever and ever. You may scoff at it today, but I'll guarantee you will not scoff at it the day that he says, depart from me. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you right there pray this prayer and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Lord, I'm so sorry I've waited so long. Help me live for you. We're going to have an invitation now. I'm going to be up front. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. I'll invite you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, preacher, today I want Jesus. Won't you come to him? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. I'm not here to make a Baptist out of here. I'm here that you would know Christ as your Savior. You're today and say, preacher, I have been saved. I've asked Jesus in my heart, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. That's down in the water, illustrating the death of Jesus Christ. And up out of the water, illustrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve at. You come at this time.